Our scripture this morning is very small. But from this scripture, I think there are so many things that we can learn. And so we're just going to talk this morning about that. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east Jerusalem. All right. Now, Pastor, where are you going with this? I want to talk about journeys this morning. I want us to think about journeys, because some of us have been here for a quarter of a century. Some of us have been here longer than a quarter of a century. Some of us have been here for half of a century and longer, three-fourths of a century or close to it. Now, our life is a journey. But I want you to think about journeys, and I want you to think about what they entail. All right, we're going to start off with this journey. Lan and I are going to be traveling to Florida for a vacation. Now, what do we need to get ready? Well, let's see. We already started looking at our finances because gas has to go in the car. So we looked to make sure where we were, what we could afford to do. So we started looking at our finances. Secondly, if I have a car, I need to make sure that the oil has been changed and that I'm not going to have to deal with that while I'm on my vacation. So I have to get my vehicle ready. Now, in Florida, the weather's not going to be the same, and this is why we chose Florida. Not the same as what they're having here, although we did hear it was down to 46 degrees the other day. So for Florida, that is cold. They were going brr. Why? Because they don't have great big thick heavy coats like we do. Because they're not used to having 46 degree weather. They usually stay in the, it's getting chilly when it starts getting into the low 60s. And if it's in the high 50s, they really feel it. And I remember Becky's and Doris's father telling about their 1 year that they went to Florida for the winter. 1 year they went to there and they rented a house. And I don't know if it was on a slab. I don't know her. But a lot of Florida houses are built on, up on stilts. And they don't have insulation under them. And so they are cold when you get those cold snaps. And he said, I froze to death the whole time I was in Florida, so why am I paying to go to Florida to be warm when it's not warm? All right, anyway, that was just a side trip. But you have to think about what you got to do. So Lan and I are going to have to think about our clothes. Now, I just told you there are days that it's down in the 40s. So, I suppose we better prepare for that as well. But there will be days it's supposed to be back up into the high 60s and 70s today. So I won't need my heavy coats and I won't need my winter snow boots. So I'm not planning on taking those. But you have to start planning for all of those things and what we're going to do, where we're going to go. We're going to go to church while we're there, so we'll go to the Kissimmee Seventh-day Baptist Church. So we've got to think about what we're going to wear that day. On and on and on goes the planning. Now, why do I bring all that up? Because I want you to think about these wise men that came from the east. I've done some research, and we're talking a journey of 600 miles, at least, depending on exactly where they came from, but at least 600 miles. Now, not only that, but they didn't have interstates. There were robbers that that would constantly attack people. So as they planned, they had to think how they were going to get there, how they were going to get there safely. They would also have to take the supplies they need for this 600-mile trip, or at least the money. Plus, they have this plan of giving gifts, so they had to plan for that as well. Can you imagine what it would take? Now, if we traveled 10 miles a day, which going through some desert areas, I don't think you're going to do that. But if they could travel 10 miles a day, it would take them at least 60 days. At least 60 days of provisions that they must take with them. Now, can you imagine getting all the supplies gathered and all of that? And I don't think we have a car big enough. So they obviously had to stop and know the journey as they went. They'd have to know the path. And a lot of people would hook up with another caravan that was traveling. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly. But imagine that probably they would, if they hooked up with these other caravans, that would have taken them on a circuitous route. So it wouldn't have been from point A to point B straight through. Because how many of us can go straight up over a mountain? Now think about the roads in West Virginia that were first developed, okay? They went the way you could get, and that meant around the mountains, not just up over them. And so this is one of the things we need to realize. This was a momentous journey that they were going on, all right? How many of us have stopped and been that deliberate about thinking through our lives and the journey we're on? I know at times many of us have stopped and said, well, what is my purpose? What is it that God wants me to do? And we pray about it and we say, Lord, lead me. And I think that that purpose changes many times as we go through life. I know that as I was a young father, that what it was my main purpose in life. It was to take care of the family needs. To be sure that I was a good father. To be sure I was a good husband. Now, my children are grown. Do I have the same amount of responsibility? No, I don't. I still have the responsibility to make sure I'm a good husband. Because that hasn't changed. The Lord has blessed me with a wife and He's kept her here with me. Even though many times I've wondered whether she was going to be able to be here with me as we faced thing after thing after thing in her life. But God has said, no, you need that helpmeet. Hallelujah, she's with me till today. But I want us this morning to start thinking about the Christian journey, the spiritual journey that you and I need to be making. And I want you to start thinking about the things that God has said that He has come to do in our lives. So let's start with the scripture of Luke chapter 4, one you've heard me preach over and over. Jesus was reading out of Isaiah, and He read the scripture that said, I have come to do what? Heal the sick, set the prisoners and captives free, proclaim the good news. The good news. That's what He said He had come, and that's what we should be mirroring our whole life off of. It's in Luke chapter 4. You can look that up and see that, because that is what Jesus said His purpose was. Johnny, you had a thought?
Yes, Magic. I know there was many wise men that didn't see Jesus, but I want another question. They studied the astrologers as well, and praised the God. But how was they was told that the baby Jesus was coming at a particular time? Because they prepared itself way ahead of time. So how were they told?
Okay. That's where the star came in. And last week I talked about how that star, and that very possibly they had understood this because of the Jews that had been exiled, and therefore they had come to this knowledge during that time that Daniel would have been in Persia, okay, during the Babylonian captivity. Anyway, so now, here we are, we're on this journey, and I want us to think about what is it we have done to get ready for that journey? What have we done to get ready to share the good news? What have we done to know how to set prisoners free? Who are the prisoners and captives today? Okay. First, we would say easily, the unsaved. They are prisoners of Satan. They are prisoners of Satan. Now, Christians also, because of lack of knowledge, many times still have areas that we have not been set free in. When we harbor unforgiveness, this is one of the things that Satan will use. You know, the scripture said, get angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because it says, because Satan will use it. Do not give Satan a chance. So guys, we need to recognize these are all things that we need to get into our mind and learn to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to do. So, captives, unsaved. Now, are there demons in the world today?
Yes,
they didn't disappear. Jesus dealt with demons. But you see, we have this picture. When you think of a demon, what do you see? You see horns. Okay, we generally picture something that we have conjured up in our mind instead of looking at Johnny and saying, you see, sometimes Johnny can be influenced by a demon. Now, he's not a demon, but there may be a demon that's influencing him. Now, I'm just using Johnny because he's right here, okay? I'm not saying you have a demon, Johnny, okay? But all of us at times are influenced by demons. So, when Betty and Dave are talking, and one of them has this thought that's angering or they want to attack the other, guess where that thought came from? It didn't come out of the love of God, did it?
No.
Okay. So that's where we have to recognize that we have to learn how to deal with demons for ourselves and also with others. Now, there are demons, just as there was in Jesus' day, that have such strong influence that people can't even, they don't know that they are influenced by the demon, but it is using them. All right. That's true. You see, demons, what did Jesus say? He said, Satan will appear as an angel of light. Something that looks beautiful may be taking us down the wrong road. So, what do we need? We need spiritual discernment. Did you know that's one of the spiritual gifts? Guys, what have we done to understand what the battle is? What have we studied to know? Now, I'll tell you what, our basic book to study is the Bible. Okay? We let the Holy Spirit take that instruction book and help us to understand what it is saying. But I've heard of people, I remember being told, I don't want to hear anything about Revelations because it scares me. What does the book of Revelation say right in the beginning? It's a blessing for you if you will read this book. So, we got to change our attitude sometimes. Things that might scare us, and there are things that are scary. We need to recognize that he who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And through his power, his spirit, which empowers us, we become overcomers. But I'm saying this morning, just as the wise men were being very deliberate in their plans to get to see the Messiah, you and I have got to become more deliberate in how we prepare ourselves for this world. How many of us love to witness to people? Isn't that an area that we as Christians tend to find frightening? But now I want to take the word witness and throw it away. And how many of us are afraid to give our neighbor a cookie or a cup of tea or a loaf of bread? Is that frightening? Oh, that's a witness. You better get scared. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to change our focus and simply be able to share what's happening within us. And that is a witness. But we think of witness that means that I'm going to go up and I'm going to grab John here and I'm going to grab him by the collar and I'm going to say, Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior? Okay. That's what we get this picture of witnessing, that it's this, I won't hurt you, you're done. All right. We get this picture of witnessing that scares us, when it shouldn't be that. It should simply be an overflowing of the love that God has put in us. It doesn't have to be this, have you discovered the four spiritual laws? And there's nothing wrong with them. You know, one, you're a sinner. Okay? Yes, these are good things to know. Yes, I need to know that I'm a sinner and that I am saved by grace through faith. These are all things I need to know. And if I don't know that, then Satan is able to rob me because I don't understand my rights as a Christian. This is where we have to seek the Holy Spirit. Just like we said, in the midst of thee is mighty. It's the whole concept that I can't go at it from a mental attitude. It has to be a heart thing. If I am reading the scriptures because I have to, because I know that as a Christian, I should be reading them the second I get up in the morning, and I should stop at lunchtime, and I should read them at night. And so I do that because I have to, then I'm going to miss out. Because it is not because I am seeking God. I need to start praying, Lord, make me hunger. Lord, show me what I need to grow in. Then I can, you know, we are so fortunate. Jesus had to memorize and know the Bibles by heart because he didn't have one he could carry around. Okay? That's something that you and I have. And in the back of almost all of our Bibles, we have something called a concordance. And we can look up a topic, or we can get a Bible dictionary. We can look up a topic and it will give us the scriptures. And then we can go to the scriptures and research that area. So this is one of the blessings we have. What I'm saying this morning is, let's be more deliberate. Let's say, Holy Spirit, guide me. I want to take the journey that I need to take to become the spitting image of my Savior. That should be our morning prayer. Lord, help me to take this journey that will make me into the spitting image of my Savior, and then be open to where He leads me. Now, I want you to start thinking about the different circles you're in. Shirley goes to a sewing circle. Are they still called that? She gets together with friends to sew, okay? Whatever you call that. And you know what? I've heard her share how she will just mention something that she's doing, and they'll ask questions. Surely that's witnessing. Okay? So, I want us just to recognize, but sometimes they might ask questions that I don't have the answers for. So then I get busy and I start digging and I find out. Now, you have several resources. You've got your Bible dictionaries, you've got your concordances, you've got a pastor who has a phone. All right? No, mine's not a smartphone. I'm sorry, I'm still in the dumb phone phase. I haven't gotten smart enough to handle the smartphone. I'm doing good with learning how to use my Kindle. Anyway, so this is something that we can do. Now, what I do want to say is that we need to not expect the pastor just to always deal with everything that we're dealing with. In essence, what I'm saying is, if we've got a friend who we know is dealing with demons in their life, don't expect that friend to want to come to see your pastor. Once in a while, that will happen. They will be so desperate that they'll come to see the pastor, and that's great. And I'm ready for that. But you get yourself ready. Read about how Jesus dealt with it when these areas of bondage were in people's lives. What did he do? How did he help them? How did he get them to see? Read about those and prepare yourself. Or, if they are open to coming, come with them. Because they don't know me. They know you. You're the one they turn to. You're the one that the Lord opened the door. Now, it may be that you can bring them to the pastor, and hallelujah. I'll be glad any time that the Lord gives any of you opportunity to meet with you, okay? But I'm saying that God didn't give me that relationship. He gave you that relationship. So you have to be the one to be able to know that there's problems there. You need to have that understanding and to know that there is help available. And that God has not changed. He still is in the business of healing. He's still in the business of setting the captives free. It hasn't changed. My challenge this morning, the first Sabbath of the new year, is let's look at and be deliberate about our journey with our Lord. Let it be a happenstance. But let's say, I hunger, I thirst for you, Lord. I hunger, I thirst for you, Lord. So that when I'm in my sewing circle, when I'm in my card game, when I'm teaching, when I'm shoveling the sidewalk, I'm ready to do. Now, another thing that I'm just going to say is, many times, God also cautions us because we can get proud of the things that we do to serve others. So I'm going to say, serve in secret as much as possible. Serve in secret as much as is possible. Let the Lord guide you to where you need to serve, and then just go do it. Jeff? Well, first we're going to sit down and we're going to try and find out exactly what we're dealing with. I have tried to study the scriptures a lot on dealing with if we've got demons that we're dealing with, what they are. We understand that there are many times a root demon that is in charge. It's a matter of finding out exactly where it is. Secondly, getting authority over the situation, which means the person needs to be willing to give their life to Christ if they haven't. Once we have that authority of Christ on the life, now in the child's case, then you use the parent's authority, then you can go in and it can be commanded out. You can also go through, and I shared about a year ago in the 2 hours to freedom study that I had done that you can go through and find the different things that have given access into the person's life and just minister healing and forgiveness in each of those areas. And then at the end, you just command any demon that is still there to be gone in the name of Jesus. And that is a basic, yes, that's the basic plan. And that's what we see Jesus doing as people came. He found out what the need was. He dealt with the need in whatever it was. And so that's our plan. That's our basic plan. But the Holy Spirit is what we really rely on. Have you ever noticed that you're in a situation and you're trying to think of something and you just say, Lord, I need your help, and boom, it comes. That's what we can expect. The Holy Spirit is the one who will guide us. Start there. Amen. Amen. And ministering together is very good because then you have someone else who can be receiving instructions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom at the same time. And when I have ministered with Pastor Glenn, with several individuals, we have found that that has worked very well. And then when, for example, I've been given a word of wisdom and I'm dealing with that, then he's got a moment to stop and say, Lord, okay, what else, you know? And so it works very well to work in a team, in a ministry. So if individuals are open to coming to others. Now, what I have found is generally it is when people are truly at their wit's end that they become ready to involve other individuals. When they've tried everything else, tried on all their own power, nothing has worked, that's when they start turning to someone else. But sometimes the Lord will have given you a key before that to help them and give them the knowledge that they need, and they can even deal with it. So those are that's one thing that I want us to recognize. God put each of us in the world for a reason. The pastor's job is to equip the saints. Equip the saints. All right? So that they can do the work of ministry. Not that the pastor does no ministering. Not saying that. Okay? But if I am the only one who knows how to do anything and everything has to come to me, then it just isn't efficient. And God is not inefficient. The saints are all who have accepted the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And washed in that blood. So I think I'm looking at a bunch of saints this morning. Amen? All right. Well, that's what I wanted us to think about today. Next week, we're going to talk about the gifts and worship. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for the way that you have come to dwell within us, that we are now the temple of the most holy, the most loving, the most awesome, the most powerful God. Thank you, Lord, as you cleanse the temple, for it is called to be a house of prayer. We are to meditate at all times with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.